You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by the Locked On NBA podcast. The NBA playoffs are almost here. Don't miss the big storylines and team previews you can find every day on the Locked On NBA podcast. Follow the Locked On NBA podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts. Happy Monday, everybody. Happy end of the regular season and victory Monday as the Timberwolves blew out the Dallas Mavericks on Sunday night by 15 points and finished the season on a very clearly high note. And not just this game, but the past couple of weeks, really the past month, 5-6 weeks, really the Chris Finch tenure, the healthy Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell games, the Anthony Edwards close to the season and possible push towards the Rookie of the Year award, or at least a very close race with the Melo Ball. This is how you want to finish the season. This is the post-game podcast, so I am going to get to the game. I'm going to get to the game flow, which there actually isn't much to say about that because the Wolves mostly ran away and hid pretty early in this one. And so we'll talk about that. We'll talk key takeaways. I want to do individual studs and duds, but I'm going to open the show by talking a little bit about how important I think it was that the Wolves closed the season the way that they did, and the tanking, the playoff, or the lottery odds be damned. This was the right way to close the season for the Timberwolves. I'm going to talk about that here in a minute. First, though, a reminder, you can subscribe or you can follow this podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. That includes Apple, Google, Spotify, and of course, the all new Odyssey app. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon. That's B Beacon, two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right. So the Timberwolves took this approach to try and win as many games as they could. It's crazy, right? Everybody, if you're listening to this, I'm sure you know the story, the odds, whatever. But quickly, Timberwolves have a top three protected pick in this year's, or their draft pick is top three protected, meaning if it finishes in the draft lottery below number three, it goes to the Golden State Warriors. It conveys to Golden State as the final piece of the D'Lo Andrew Wiggins trade last February at the trade deadline, 2020. Yeah, it's in the Timberwolves' best interest to have a bottom three record, which gives them the best chance of having a top three pick in the NBA or in the NBA draft when the draft lottery happens. But of course, the way that the odds work now is even if they finish in the top three, they still only had a little bit of a better than 40% chance to land a top three pick, which means that there's still a 60% chance that they lose the pick. Now, the Timberwolves, after finishing the season strong, they have the sixth worst record in the league, which means that they have a 27.6% chance of keeping their pick, which means that they have, of course, a 72.4%, if I did my math right, percent chance of losing the pick. So, yeah, I mean, if they'd kept losing, they would have had a 40.1% chance in the top, in the bottom three, 40.1% chance of keeping the pick. And now it's a 27.6% chance. So it's roughly, you know, they lost a 13% off of that, right? Was it worth it? I'm here to argue yes. I think that the winning culture that Chris Finch is trying to build with the Minnesota Timberwolves is worth that 13% less chance that they're going to get the pick. It's not like they went from a 60% chance to get it to a 25% chance. There was still a 60% chance they weren't going to get the pick, even if they'd lost the rest of their games all season. Can you imagine if this team had finished the season like the Oklahoma City Thunder with Karl-Anthony Towns mostly healthy, or if they'd chosen to sit Towns? Can you imagine the look on Karl-Anthony Towns' face as the team loses 10 straight to finish the season? How is he going to feel about wanting to stay in Minnesota? How is he going to feel about the team that they're building around him in Minnesota? Same with D'Angelo Russell, same with Anthony Edwards. What do you think the development of Anthony Edwards would have been like if Karl-Anthony Towns sat on the bench down the stretch, or if D'Angelo Russell sat on the bench down the stretch and this team didn't try and win, if Chris Finch didn't try and win, what kind of message is that sending? And obviously that's always been the argument against tanking, but there's real consequences here, at least that's the narrative, right? That, you know, by not losing, by not tanking, you're losing your opportunity, you're losing your chance at getting the top three pick, or keeping your pick in the Timberwolves case. And it's not simply getting a better pick, it's keeping your pick. But again, the 13% is, it's worth cashing in those chips, those I guess quite literally lottery balls, right? It's worth cashing those in for the ability to look at this thing and say, oh man, we finished 13-11 with Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell in the lineup together. We finished the second half of the season 16-20, which admittedly isn't, you know, it's still a losing record, obviously. But what was this team when Ryan Saunders was coach? They were 7-24 when he was fired. The fact that they finished this season 16-20 after the All-Star break, that, I mean, that's not nothing. That matters. I mean, you extrapolate that out, 13-11 when Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell both play and finish a game. This is a fringe playoff team as currently constructed, if you believe those numbers, and if you believe that Anthony Edwards is far closer to the player that finished the season than the player that started the season back in December and January. So this was the right move. There's real optimism surrounding this team, as much as can be the case for a team that finished the season with a 23-49 record. But there is some optimism because of the 13-11 with their two best players, because of the Anthony Edwards finishing the season on a tear, averaging 24 points a game on 45% shooting since the All-Star break, and arguably being the best rookie in the league when you consider the body of work. I've talked about this quite a bit. We'll talk about it more this week here on the show. But all of those things together, and if you listen, Karl-Anthony Towns gave a great post-game interview with Alan Horton on the Wolves radio network, and you can track that down. I think Alan tweeted it out, a SoundCloud clip, and Kat was jovial the right word? I mean, obviously he wasn't happy that the team missed the playoffs again. And I don't think it's like in an appropriate way, like he shouldn't be this happy. You know, they just lost whatever, you know, I could see the cynical side of Timberwolves fandom. And I understand it very well, saying, why is everybody so happy? This was another miserable season. Yes, but it matters how you close the season. And the example that Allen and Towns discussed was the Phoenix Suns going 8-0 in the bubble last year. Now, the difference is they added Chris Paul in the offseason, right? We don't yet know what the Wolves will do this offseason, but so it's not exactly apples to apples, but there's some similarities between Devin Booker as a high volume, no defense, reputation for a non-winning type of a quote unquote star, suddenly now being the star along with Chris Paul, of course, and DeAndre Ayton and others with Phoenix. But Devin Booker is the guy that everybody points to at that team and is no longer the empty stats, no defense guy entirely. I mean, there's still some of that, but he's a star, right? He's now a two-time All-Star. And Karl-Anthony Towns, there's some similarities there beyond the fact that they're friends. And of course, D'Angelo Russell being the third player in that trio of friends. Both D'Lo and Towns have those reputations as great offense, little defense, empty stats, can they be winners type of players. You better believe those guys want to prove that sentiment wrong. And going 13-11 when they play together this season, and remember, they only played together a couple of times last year prior to the pandemic, and also with all the injuries mixed in, mostly to Towns, there is and there should be real optimism around this team. And we can pick apart the issues, and we will this offseason. We have a lot of time to do that on the show, and we'll have some guests on to help me dissect this roster here in the coming weeks. But there's some issues. The defense needs to be shored up. There could stand to be a few more shooters. Anthony Edwards needs to shore up his shot selection. The defensive intensity needs to continue that we saw in spurts from Towns and Russell and the team as a whole. Does Josh Okogie have a role in the rotation moving forward? Is he moved? Is Ricky Rubio still on the team? There's lots of questions surrounding the Timberwolves going into the offseason, but it's very clear that Chris Finch is trying to develop a mentality in this team related to defending, related to effort, getting out to good starts at the beginning of games, which had been an issue at times this season and was with Finch's coach early on, but the Wolves have improved that quite a bit. And he wanted to instill something of a culture try to instill a winning culture over the final weeks of the season. And I think he did a pretty good job. And the fact that they didn't mail in, it would have been very easy and defensible to mail in game 72. To be very clear, if you missed this, the Timberwolves, they fell or I guess rose to the sixth worst record in the league because both Cleveland and Oklahoma City managed to lose on Sunday, and the Timberwolves won in blowout fashion because the Timberwolves were not motivated to lose. And they did what they could to win, and you know, tanking be damned. They did what they could to win it. And I think it was the right move. We'll see. And who knows? Maybe they'll get lucky. That doesn't happen often for the Timberwolves. I mean, they've gotten a couple of number one overall picks on their roster. You know, the only picks they've actually held, of course, are the Towns and Edwards picks. But and there was something very Wolvesy about getting the number one pick in what was supposed to be a weak draft just this last year in 2020. Of course, turns out, you know, Edwards and Ball are both incredible, and James Wiseman appears as though he'll be a good pro, and it's a very deep draft already, it seems. But could the Wolves get lucky? Could they cash in that 27% chance and end up with the top three pick and keep it and take a player that's going to help them immediately and perhaps be a third or fourth or fifth star on this roster, depending on what you think about, you know, D'Lo and Towns and Anthony Edwards and Malik Beasley. But that is still a very real possibility, a very real scenario that could play out. So all that to say, I think the Timberwolves did the right thing from the front office down to the coaching staff and, of course, to the players, who players don't tank. So all the way across the board, great job by the Timberwolves to finish the season strong. And we're going to break down some of those second half of the season performances over the next few days and weeks. Next up, what I want to do is get into this game specifically, some quick game flow and key takeaway talk before we look at individual studs and duds. Before we do all that, though, let's talk about our great friends at Indeed. You're the hiring expert for your company, and what you really need is help making your shortlist of quality candidates. You need a hiring partner who helps make your life easier. You need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications, and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy. With tools like Indeed Instant Match, giving you quality candidates whose resume on Indeed fits your job description immediately, and Indeed Skills Test that on average reduces hiring time by 27%. You can choose from more than 130 skills tests, then add your must-have requirements so you only pay for applications that meet them. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. All right, let's talk about the game flow from Wolves-Mavs on Sunday night. The Timberwolves jumped out to a pretty early lead. The Mavericks led very briefly. It was like 6-3, I think, was the only time that they had a lead. And the Wolves got off and running very quickly. Jaden McDaniels scored 8 of the Wolves' first 10 points in this game. It was all about J-Mac early, the rookie J-Mac, not to be confused, of course, with Jordan McLaughlin. Jaden McDaniels had 12 just in the first quarter alone, and was fantastic. I mean, he was aggressive. He was looking for a shot. They talked about in the Bally Sports North broadcast that Jaden McDaniels had been challenged by Chris Finch to be more aggressive with his offensive game. And he wasn't just being aggressive as a cutter or a spot up shooter. He was actually putting the ball on the floor. He had a couple of nice, he had one double clutch move where he somehow scored at the rim, had a couple of just nasty dunks in this game, had one in each half, and did also make 3-pointers. I mean, this was a great game for Jaden McDaniels. We'll talk a little bit more about him later in the show. Spoiler in the studs and duds segment. But the Wolves built a double-digit lead very quickly. I mean, they went up 18-8 with 5 minutes left in the first quarter, and then led by double figures for the rest of the game. It never really got dicey. I mean, Dallas kind of, they brought it down to 12, 14 points a couple of times. But the Wolves were up 16 by the end of the first quarter, and the middle stages of the game was mostly played to a draw, and actually really the rest of the game was. They were up, what, 16 at the end of the first, and they won the game by 15. They did push the lead as high as 24, and Dallas got to within, you know, 12, 14 a couple of times. But this thing was never really in doubt at any point. In the same way, Boston put the Wolves away early on Saturday and just kind of held on with basically a 12-plus point lead the rest of the game. That happened here. I mean, the Wolves did lead by as many as 21 in the second quarter. They led by as many as 24 in the third quarter. And there was just a lot of offense in this game. Towns was big early. D'Angelo Russell was kind of more played a distributing role in this game. His shot still wasn't as bad as it was Saturday, but he didn't have a great shooting game. but it was a lot of Towns. It was a lot of Jaden McDaniels early in this game. And then Anthony Edwards came on strong in the second half as Minnesota kind of held off a couple of mini runs by the Mavericks. By the early part of the fourth quarter, though, Rick Carlisle had called the dogs off, had taken his starters out. Dallas didn't have a ton to play for. I mean, at the start of the night, they knew they'd get the five or the six. They ended up, based on what happened in some of the other games, getting locked into the five seed anyway. So there was no sense in leaving those guys out there at risk of injury and further fatigue and all that stuff. So remember, Dallas has won. I think this was like their fourth loss in the last 16 games. So this game didn't mean a ton to them. And the Wolves really did. It kind of felt like this is, you know, the last day of school before summer type of a thing. And that's what this game felt like, but in a good way, not in a let's mail it in kind of a way, but in a let's have fun and go out on a high note. That's exactly what happened. So let's get right into key takeaways from this one, because again, the game flow was almost a wire to wire win. So there's not much else to say about that. It's not like there was a crunch time or anything in this game, but the Timberwolves shot lights out. I mean, after shooting, 13.5% on Saturday, they made five threes in the hideous afternoon loss to the Celtics. They were 17 of 40 in this game, 42.5% from three. Anthony Edwards was 5 of 9, missed his first couple and was scorching hot late in the game. D'Lo was 3 of 9. Naz Reid was 3 of 3 off the bench. Jaden McDaniels was 3 of 7. Jordan McLaughlin hit his only three-point attempt. And the Wolves scored from outside the arc. They scored from the free throw line. They were 21 of 25 there, 84%. So they made four more free throws than the Mavs. They made one more three-pointer than the Mavs. The Mavs actually got hot middle of the game after starting, I think they were 0 of 12 to start the game. And then Dallas was just unbelievably hot from that point forward. And that's partly why they hung around in this one, or really the main reason why they hung around. I had mentioned the rebounding battle in the brief preview I did on the Sunday show in this game, because Dallas had controlled the glass in a big way the last time these two teams met. And this was a draw, 38-38. There just weren't that many rebounds because both teams shot the lights out and the defense wasn't exactly spectacular. But the Timberwolves did what they needed to do. They held serve there. They created more fast break opportunities for themselves by getting steals. The Timberwolves had 11 steals in this game. And the Wolves offense, after really running strictly through Towns on Saturday, was different in this one. I mean, Cat got some post touches, but the Wolves were getting the ball on the perimeter a lot and driving and kicking. They ran some more isolation type sets for both Edwards and Towns. And Cat only had 12 field goal attempts, but he had 11 free throw tries in this game. So he kept getting into the paint and getting fouled. And getting to the free throw line was a massive part of what the Wolves did in this one. I think the other thing here is Jared Vanderbilt isn't going to be on the list of studs and duds because he just... what he does is not always super quantifiable. And I guess you could argue it was in this game. He finished with 7 points, 12 rebounds, and three steals in just 24 minutes. But he set the tone early. He had two of his three steals were in the first quarter. And one was very early, but he had two in the first quarter. And they were both kind of tone setters where he was jumping passing lanes. Dallas was kind of having lackadaisical, rotating the ball lackadaisically on the perimeter. And Jared Vanderbilt, he jumps passing lanes. He gets chased on blocks. He's active hands. He's bouncy. He's aggressive all the time. He had five offensive rebounds in this game, 12 total rebounds, and helped set the tone early. He's an effective rotation player. And I'm going to spend some time kind of recapping the season on an individual basis, almost like an individual player profile season in review here over the next couple of weeks. I think Vando is a rotation caliber NBA player. He might be the fourth big energy guy off the bench, 12 to 18 minutes a night, depending on the night, depending on the matchup. He it's tough to play him at the five. You can't really play him at the three, but he's a really fun fit as a part-time four next to Towns. If you think you can play Jaden McDaniels sometimes at the three, you can play Wancho sometimes at the three, then you can play Vando at the four for maybe 20 minutes a game. The energy he brings is infectious, it's contagious, and it's real, and it makes a difference. I mean, good Vando is a very good player, and if you can figure out how to not entirely hide him on offense, but not put him in a position where he's got the ball too often on the perimeter, and he can handle in transition. He's got a good handle and can pass the ball, but you don't want him with the ball in a scoring position on the wing because teams, they know he doesn't handle the ball well in the half court, right? Vando is much more effective in transition if he's got the ball in his hands, distributing for others. He can legitimately handle and pass the ball well, but teams know he can't shoot a jumper or he can't make a jumper, I should say. So they're going to play off of him in the half court. And that's, we saw Chris Finch use him in the dunker spot almost exclusively. and he played some five when Ryan Saunders was the coach. That didn't happen under Chris Finch. So trying to find a way to use Vanderbilt to make Daniels and experimenting with the two of them together on the floor, I think was a really smart thing for Finch to do down the stretch of the season. Other key takeaways, Naz Reid continues to be really impressive and continues to make a case for kind of a matchup, you know, the primary backup five and a matchup four next to Towns. So some nights it might be Vanderbilt and McDaniels that play the four. Other nights it might be Naz Reid who's at the four, or Juancho Hernangómez who's at the four. And Naz can do that. I mean, he played, I think, exclusively the five. I think he only played backup minutes to Towns in this game, and he was amazing. 17 points on seven shots. You literally can't get more efficient than that. Seven of seven shooting from the field, three of three outside the arc. And Naz, it'll be very interesting to see. I think at times his game has been overrated because it seems like a novelty to have found an undrafted guy who's this talented. But at the same time, his contract is an absolute bargain. He is a rotation player in the NBA in a very different way than Jared Vanderbilt is. But they both are. And I think that Naz is a viable backup five who can play minutes at the four, and he is a bargain. So, and also he's continued to improve his rebounding throughout the season. So one of my key takeaways is the revelation that Naz Reid has been and how unstoppable he is when he really gets rolling offensively. So interested to see what he looks like or what his role looks like for the Wolves here moving forward. Okay, I want to get to individual studs and duds next up here. Before we do all that, though, let's talk about our friends at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing now. You can track all the action at BetOnline. You can get all the latest news, odds, and information for all your sporting needs, including the MLB and, of course, the NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Let's also talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. It tastes exactly like a candy bar. There's nine delicious flavors to choose from. Of those nine, coconut, mint brownie, salted caramel are the best, but there is something for everyone. If you don't know what your favorite flavor is, if you haven't tried it yet for some reason, you can get a mixed box. You'll get two of each of the nine flavors. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, and just 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams net carbs. Order today. Get mint brownie, salted caramel, coconut, or maybe it is the mixed box that you want to get. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Okay, let's jump right into individual studs and duds from this game. Number one for me is none other than Karl-Anthony Towns. 23 points, only 6 of 12 shooting. It was a relatively quiet 23, but he controlled this game. 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. He did actually foul out in this game in 31 minutes. He was in some early foul trouble, but only one turnover to the 5 assists and a strong game from Kat. Number 2 for me on this list is Anthony Edwards. 30 points on 10 of 21 shooting, so just a hair under 50% from the field. 5 of 9 on 3-point attempts and a perfect 5 of 5 from the free throw line. 4 assists, 2 blocks, only one turnover in this game. Weird thing, he had 0 rebounds in 38 minutes, which, I mean, if this was January, you know, if you are a regular listener to the show, I would have harped on this, probably spent 5 minutes complaining about his lack of rebounding. He has earned some capital in terms of grace for me complaining about his rebounding because A, he's improved in that category and that matters more than anything. And B, he's been effective and efficient enough offensively that you can get away with a stinker every now and again in the rebounding column. I mean, he's had, I think, 3 0 rebound games this season. If you throw out some of the early season when he didn't play very much, I guess 4 total if you include those games. But he's also had several 9 and 10 rebound games over the past couple of months. So this was kind of more fluky than anything else. He also played a team high 38 minutes. So very weird. But the 5 of 9 from 3 was good to see after he was just 1 of 9 on Saturday. And again, perfect from the free throw line. He's seen those shooting splits continue to skyrocket. Second half of the season, he's 45% from the field, 35% from 3-point range, and 76% from the free throw line. And looking at his season stats, this won't include this won't include tonight or Sunday night's game because I'm looking at Basketball Reference. But on the season, 41.6% from the field, 32.5% from three. That's going to get a lot closer to 33%. And then 77.2% from the free throw line. Those shooting splits will play. And that field goal percentage is going to continue to climb as he began to cut out that mid-range jumper, become more efficient and more choosy with the three-point shots he was taking, and playing more bully ball in the paint, being more aggressive in the paint, seeing that free throw rate jump quite a bit over the second half of the season. So Anthony Edwards, fantastic game once again, despite the zero rebounds, was a really solid game from him. Third stud for me in this game is... Ah, man, this is a tough one. I'm going to go four. It's the last game of the season. Hey, who cares? I'm going to go four. Number three for me is D'Angelo Russell, 23 points, 10 assists. After a tough game on Saturday, he was dishing out dimes in this game, 23 and 10, three steals, three rebounds, shot 8 of 19 from the field, passable, 3 of 9 outside the arc, 4 of 5 at the line. And really, along with Towns, kind of had the control on the game, had a good pulse on the game, and played 36 minutes, which is... pretty sure his most minutes he's played in a game since he came back from the injury. I'm going to verify that very quickly, but I'm pretty sure that that's true. He did play 137. He had 137 minute game, the loss to Memphis. But other than that, this was his second most minutes, tied for his second most minutes since coming back from the knee surgery. But a good all around game from D'Angelo Russell. And then fourth on my list of studs in this one, as I break the rules, is Jaden McDaniels. I talked about him at the top of the show. 19 points, 12 of them coming in the first quarter, and 8 of the first 10 Timberwolves points scored when the rest of the offense wasn't necessarily flowing that well to open the game. 8 of 13 shooting, 3 of 7 on threes. He was 5 of 6 on two-point attempts, 3 rebounds, and his only... he didn't shoot very many mid-range jumpers. He had one really... really impressive crossover step back mid-range jumper that is not the most efficient shot, but it looked great and it went in. So it was memorable. 19 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists and a block. He was a team best plus 15 in the plus minus column in 32 minutes. Again, 8 of 13 from the field, 3 of 7 at the line or 3-point line. He does need to improve his free throw rate moving forward. He needs to be more aggressive going to the rim, but the defensive, I don't know if we call it prowess yet, but the defensive ability and certainly the defensive ceiling for Jaden McDaniels is beyond what anybody, and I mean anybody, would have expected coming into this season. There's certainly work to be done. He's 20. He had a poor season in the Pac-12 just last year with the Washington Huskies. The ceiling for Jaden McDaniels is truly, I mean, everybody said at the time when he was drafted, he had lottery level talent, and that remains true. He is an extremely talented player, and the offensive ceiling is the offensive potential is what still needs to get tapped into for the most part. He's already a very good defender at the NBA level. So excited to see what he does, presumably as the starting four next to Karl Anthony Towns next year, maybe as the three. I mean, he started at the three in this game. And for the most part, Chris Finch was willing to try him at both spots. I mean, according to Basketball Reference, he played 21% of his minutes at the small forward position coming into the game and 77% of his minutes at the four. I think we'll probably see a split similar to that. Maybe it's more of a 2/3 of his minutes at the four and 1/3 at the three, depending on what his offensive game looks like as he continues to develop it. And also if the Wolves, who they think the best fit is between McDaniels and Towns, if it's a Vanderbilt defensive rebounded minding type guy, or if it's a bigger player, if it's a more of a stretch four like a Wancho. And the Timberwolves will have all offseason to think about that. But Jaden McDaniels had another impressive game, and it was great to see his improvement and what he brought to the team over the course of the season. It's hard to choose a dud for this game. It always is when the Timberwolves win. And again, last game of the season, I'm going to break the rules. I'm going to do the thing that I hate and just not pick a dud. I mean, everybody played well. I mean, Jordan McLaughlin was perfect from the floor, 3 assists, 7 points in 11 minutes. Wancho, I guess, didn't do much. He'd be, I guess, the one if I had to pick one, 2 points and a rebound in 11 minutes. But Josh Okogie was great defensively. I haven't talked about the Wolves defense yet, but the Wolves held Luka Doncic down. I mean, he only played 21 minutes, but he had 4 turnovers and really was kind of quiet in this game. And that was Josh Okogie and Jaden McDaniels primarily. Naz Reid, I talked about already, 17-5. Ricky Rubio only had 2 points, but he was a +8 off the bench, had 7 assists and only 1 turnover in 20 minutes. And there really wasn't a player that had a poor game for the Timberwolves. This was almost a wire-to-wire, a very impressive win all the way around for Minnesota. So I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to name any duds, and that's kind of the bow on this game. Is a great way to end the season. I gave my spiel at the beginning about why I think winning at the end of the season was the right thing to do. And the rest of this week, I want to talk Rookie of the Year. I want to make the case for Anthony Edwards as Rookie of the Year. I want to obviously spend a little bit of time looking at the play-in games on Tuesday and Wednesday. So I'll touch on that and my thoughts on, we'll see how the format goes, but those matchups very briefly during this week. I want to look ahead briefly this week at the draft and the draft lottery, talk again about those odds and what players the Wolves could target if they jump into the top three. And then I'm going to start into the series of player reviews where we'll look at each player on the roster, talk about their season compared to where applicable their previous season, where expectations might have been at the start of the year, where I thought they would be. And we'll do a little bit of a postmortem on the team as a whole as well. And obviously this team did not finish where I thought they would, but we also didn't know that Towns would dislocate his wrist and contract COVID-19, or that D'Angelo Russell would need arthroscopic knee surgery and miss 6-7 weeks in the middle of the season, or that Malik Beasley, I guess we had an idea he'd be suspended, but then also come down with a hamstring injury and miss the balance of the season shortly after returning from suspension. So a lot of things happen and there's a lot to unpack. So there's plenty to talk about over the next week, couple of weeks here before we shift into really kind of full offseason draft mode, preview free agency, potential trades this offseason. So a lot to still come here on the show, and we'll also have some great guests on as well. So stay tuned to the show. If you're not already following or subscribed, please follow anywhere you listen to podcasts. That, of course, includes Apple as well as Google and Spotify and the all new Odyssey app. You can also follow this show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon. That's B Beacon, 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K-E-N. That's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast. Of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Thank you for a fantastic season, for listening all along. Of course, this show will still be daily Monday through Friday for the foreseeable future. At some point, we'll kick into off-season mode and probably do about 3 shows a week. But for now, as I mentioned, there's plenty to unpack. So be sure that you're subscribed, that you're following the podcast. And again, I appreciate, more than I can ever say, all the listens and the comments and the discussion on Twitter as well for all the regular listeners. And I appreciate all of you. And if you do listen on Apple, always welcome reviews and ratings on there. That definitely helps us out. So one last reminder that today's show was brought to you by the Locked On NBA podcast, of course, gearing up for the playoffs. The Locked On NBA podcast is going to have all the big storylines, team previews, et cetera, for the NBA playoffs. And you can follow, of course, the Locked On NBA show on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, how worried should Lakers fans be about their road to the finals? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.